by way of review, sometimes we talk about words riding a bus. And briefly for review, we're going to have a church bus tonight. And this bus is going along, and there's already many, many passengers have got off it. Many churches have got off, but there's only four left. And this first one, we're going to say, well, which church are we talking about? And this first one, the bus stops. He gets off. It's a Sunday morning, 11 a.m. or so. Walks in the building. He says, wow, they're singing and they're praying and they're taking the Lord's Supper. And it's an orderly assembly. And, oh, there's some preaching fixing to start. Okay, there's a lot of things going on with that group. So what sense of the church is this? Assembled. Assembled. Okay? So the bus is going along now, and it stops again, and an individual gets off, and he says, there's an Uber vehicle waiting for him. So he gets in the Uber vehicle, and the vehicle takes him individually, okay, to like Humble Church. He takes him individually to every house. Every house, the members of that congregation. So he's done that. Takes some time, but he does it. So he gets to greet everyone individually at their homes. So what church am I talking about now? Local. Okay? Because again, these people, again, here in Humble Church, you've agreed to work and worship together in those things concerning Christ. All right, but you're not assembled at that moment. So the bus goes along, there are two passengers left, and gets off. Another Uber driver there, and he hops in. The Uber driver says, well, it's going to be a long time. I says, what? All right. He says, well, we're going to visit, okay, all the believers, Christians, in Beaumont. So, okay. So they get on it. He visits individually at their houses. All those people live in Beaumont that are believers. There's a few churches there, okay? Many believers beyond that. So he visits all those. So what church is that?
A district.
A district, right. Okay. Now, the last one, all right, there's only one left. So what's going to happen with this one? So the bus comes up and it stops. And he walks out the door, and oh man, he says, look at all the people. Look at all the people. All right? It's kind of a receiving line. And the first one comes up and says, I don't know you. Well, your name's Abel. All right? Oh, well, good to meet you, Abel. Read about you. And another one walks up and says, who are you? He says, Jeremiah. Oh, good to meet you. Really good. So, another one walks up. Actually, it's not another one. It's a group of 3,000. Just a group of 3,000. And he greets those people. People. Okay? And then he goes on and he says, Wow. Betty Lou Dunbar. Here's Betty Lou Dunbar. I meet her. Oh, and there's one more. Of all these mirrors, that he's going to get to all of them. But there's one more he meets, Sandra Bernard. Sandra Bernard he meets. So what church am I talking about now?
Universal.
Universal. All right. I hope that illustrated somewhat, okay, these four senses of the usage of the word church. And yet always people. It's always people. And as we continue our course, please remember that if there's any addition or error in that, let me know. I'm sure there's some somewhere. Okay? But it's sure that I want to illustrate that to you. Any questions about that? Now, to continue with page 8, number 3. Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17. Maybe a little farther. when we remember this Matthew 18 section here, dealt with a man who had sinned, and then some people are going to him to try to convince him not to sin any longer, and also to confirm that sin also. And then this man, who's visited by how many people in verse 15? If he does not listen to who?
You.
Okay. So a single individual visits him, and he, what would you say, doesn't repent, doesn't change his mind concerning the sin involved. So in verse 17, if he refuses to listen to
them,
so we're getting more numbers now, aren't we? Okay.
Three,
two or three witnesses. Right. And these witnesses to confirm, okay, that there's guilt involved on the individual. Not just one say-so. You know how one person can be sometimes. They can be off. Okay. But as proven in the Old Testament and again verified here, that two or three witnesses is good to have to root out a guilt. Now, at this point, has he heard the church, which is a collective noun? He hasn't. Obviously not. All right? Because when we look in the next verse 17, they're going to go tell it to who about the guilt of this individual and the efforts they've made to turn him around. Don't tell the church, aren't they? Okay? This group, multiple number, plural number of individuals, now they're aware of this problem. Now, in your Bible, it's a red letter, all right? So these are words from Christ. So he's made a distinction in two or three, four people, believers, Christians, and versus the church, tell it to the church. Now, is that fairly clear? Okay. Now, and it's an interesting thing that when you see these individuals, this two or more here gathered together, that they're at the same place, they're same action, they're doing the same thing, they're doing things concerning religion, Christ, and what's right, okay? And so they're doing this action. Now, but again, it's not the church yet, all right? And go tell it to the church. Now, yes?
That's about itself. They're attempting to help him save himself.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay? That's always, you can confirm guilt, and we're just trying to get him. You're never trying to get someone. You're trying to convert them, to change them, to do what's right. Remind them of heaven and consequences. And remind them what the Lord has done for that person individually. And all those things are high priority, highest priority. Okay? Go after the one lamb that's missing out of the 100. All right. Now, number four question. Anytime you have two or more Christians, you have a local church. True or false? True and false. We've seen here that this individual, these two or three together, was not the church. But can you not have, if you have a collective in a locality, okay, who have agreed to worship God and worship one with another, to do the work, combine to work for that, you could have two or more.
It'd be a little... That's not your question, though, is it?
Well, let's see.
Your question is any
time. Oh, okay. Anytime you have two or more. Oh, okay. The answer is no. Let's see. Let's put that right there. All right? And again, we've seen that. Again, we just looked at it in Matthew 18. And that other branch I was talking about. Now, and if that be the case, whenever if you have two or three, to illustrate this, if you got two or three people out working together in a business, or you got two or three believers of a congregation, okay, who are doing some good work together, well, that's not the church doing it, it's those individuals doing it. Okay? That good action. Good action. Okay. Number five. What makes one a part of or unity in each of the following collectives? Well, this we ought to know this one. To be part of Universal Church, one must... Say again?
Obey the gospel.
Say again? Have fellowship with God through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And that's the thing. And also, as we looked at back in Matthew 16, believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and the whole gospel concerned with that. Now, and I've mentioned before, when Christ Jesus adds you to this universal church, he doesn't make mistakes. All right? And that's certainly our goal in life, to be a member of that universal church. B part, to be a part of the church in a district, one must what? Live in it. All right? Live in it. Like I mentioned, Beaumont and that sort of thing. All right? Live in it. Live in the area.
If he lives in the area, he's a member of the church in a district.
To be part of the church in a district, one must. In Acts
9:31. He's part of that church you were talking about a while ago?
No.
He said if you live in that area, he lives in that area.
Oh, well, this is the... If you look at the congregation, no, you look at no congregations. We're looking at individuals in a geographic area. It's the beginning and the end of Acts 9:31 in this district sense. There's no organization involved, no common treasury involved, and no worship involved.
Tell me your answer again.
To be part of the church in a district, one must live in that district. That's it.
Well, that guy at Edgy lives in the district you defined a while ago, Beaumont.
Yeah.
So I guess he's part of the church of Beaumont.
Golden Triangle. Well, Beaumont has more than one.
What
she said?
That's
the
Christian who lives in that area.
Yes, Christian lives in that area.
That's important.
That's important. Okay. Okay. Good point. Good point. All right. Yes, sir.
So if you have a Christian that lives in a given area, then he's a part of that, in the district sense of that church.
No, all he is, in a district sense, he just lives in that district.
Doesn't he have to join the church?
Yes.
He has to be a Christian, but he has to join one of those churches in that area.
He doesn't necessarily have to be a member of that church. That's his goal, to do that, to work with them and to join a congregation to... work and worship and do the things that he needs to do, but not necessarily.
You don't join the district church.
Right, that's right. That's
like
right.
You join an individual church.
Well,
you don't join it. You just happen to live there.
Yes,
just happen to. The basis of where you live, that's all. You don't join anything. You don't do anything. You just happen to live there.
Just happen to live there.
But your goal should be to identify with a local congregation in the district.
That had nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. This is just a single verse that... Or had grouped in an area individual Christians that live in an area. That's it.
So a church in a district collects the individual Christians that's living in
a geographic area.
Not the members of churches living.
That's correct.
Right. Members of the churches in the district.
Right, because... Imagine the Ethiopian eunuch lived in that area. Okay, he's not a member of a church, a local congregation, in that work, but he's still in that area. Okay, in a geographic area. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it says to be a part of the church in a district, one must. So he is going to be part of the work that is.
Well, there is no work in that district. He just lives there. And that's it.
But he says to be a part of the church.
Well, he's already part. If he's saved already and obeyed the gospel, he's a member of the universal church, of course.
So you mean to be part of the universal church in the district?
Well, he's also, do you know?
Well, back up your definition of their dead.
All right.
Number four.
Anytime you have two or more?
No, up on your outline. No.
Oh.
Look at your Roman numeral four on the outline there.
Common characteristic.
Units.
Units are what?
A collective collect something.
Yes.
In this case, Christians. What's binding them together in this group? Where they live. That's it.
Yeah. The only issue that binds them together, calling them a church in an area, is just the area. That's it. It's a one verse thing in the scriptures. Yeah, you do not. You do not.
The word church never collects churches.
Churches or congregations, it does not.
It collects individual Christians.
That's right. That's right. And that will be emphasized some more as we move forward.
Common mistake in our society.
All right. C-part, to be a part of a local church, one must what? This local congregation. Join it. You've agreed first to be a part of it, to work and worship with it. Okay? And to do that, there's some connection one to another with the members of a congregation. Okay? There's the idea of talking to one another and then agreeing to be part of that work. And with agreeing to be part of that work, what does that mean? That's right. You pull your resources, okay, all those sort of things. Okay, you're going to set time aside, do those sort of things necessary to fulfill your obligation and what you've agreed to do. Yes, sir.
We normally use the term identify, right?
Yes, that's fine. Either identify or join is a good word.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll join.
Number D is to be a part of a church in the assembled sense, one must be physically there. Be physically there, physically present. All right? What church Ethiodian eunuch a member of? I think we've talked about this. Again, on the road by himself, converted to the gospel, believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And at that moment, he's saved. He's saved and he's added to the universal church by Jesus himself. And seven, you are a member of the church in how many senses? We've talked about that four different ways. And the next part of number eight is what did Saul persecute when he ravaged the church? And, you know, be sure.
People.
Always individuals, okay? People here were believers. And what did Christ build when he built the church? Matthew 16:18. That church there is people again, isn't it? Individuals, people. All right? And, the basic requirement there, and the great requirement, is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, in 8a, you put, what did Saul persecute when he ravaged the church?
Yes.
It says, people who?
Who were believers, were Christians. And C, what were they added to when the Lord added them to the church in Acts 2:47? What were they added to?
The universal body.
Universal body. People again, isn't it? Okay. People who believe in Jesus as the Christ and the gospel that the apostles have preached. Now, in our next page, page 9, and I clarified this point again by an individual a few minutes ago before we started class, that what we're doing here is there's things that God does, that he did, and with an individual and with members of the church, the universal church. So what is the same in relation to that? Okay? And this is the whole thing is just confirming that the church is a collective of believers. Collective of believers. That's what all this chart does on number 9. But a very important chart. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, and you may want to keep your finger or your marker at Ephesians 5:26 for a minute. I think I'll do that. Of course, in reading 5:26 to start with, there are more than a few words there. Let's start up in 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. 26. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Okay? So if we look at 1 Corinthians 6:11, someone have that? Okay. I'll get it here. 6:11, to show the corresponding verse. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our Lord. So we look here, there's a common word at this point, and it's sanctified. Sanctified. Okay, in both instances of an individual and those of the universal church. Now, in also now in Acts 22:16, and keeping your place at 5:26, and now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name, and wash away your sins. And again, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. So washing again, leave no stain or no blemish, is a common word there between the individual and those who are members of the church. Now, also now in 1 John 1, Seven and nine. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, 5:26, which we have read, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Cleansing is another common word here. Again, no stains, no blemish. Common trait, okay, of church universal and one of, that affects the individual. So all these are individual things that are part of the collective. Now, in Acts 2:47, we know that one. Ephesians 5:23 and Acts 2:47. And as we turn to 247, we see that they were added at that moment. Again, depending on which version you have. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And again, in the King James, the New King James had added to the church. And then as we see in Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, being Savior of the body. So they're saved. Saved. Jesus pronounced them saved in 47. He's also the Savior of body. So the connection there is real and evident, okay, that he's a Savior and saves each of us and forgives our sins. And in 1 Corinthians 6:20 and Acts 20:28, you see here a common thread between the individual and who are members qualified to be in the church. Acts 20:28. Acts 20:28 reads, "Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." And 1 Corinthians 6:20. "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." Bought with a price, purchased, redeemed. Again, the common trait. A common trait, okay, of the collective who is in the church and of the individual too. Now,
an observation.
Yes, sir.
None of the verses on the right say members of the church. Said it several times.
Okay.
None of those verses said members of the church.
All right.
Do they?
No, sir.
No. They just say church. Maybe it would help us if we substitute the word group. Just forget the word church. That's all they meant by group. Christ purchased the group. Christ sanctified the group. Christ washed the group. What group? Those individuals. But He didn't say members of the group. He sanctified the group.
Yes.
The only way He did that is by sanctifying the people in that group.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, number 10, there's a sense is the church spoken of in the following passages. Again, we're looking local, assembled, universal, that kind of thing, when we look at these different verses that we brought up. And a classic verse is Romans 16:16. And when you look at that verse, what kind of sense do you have on that one? "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the church of Christ greet you." Local. And the indicator for that is the word churches is plural. All right? Now, if we look at the next number B there, okay, and right in the first part of the Corinthian letter, then we're also seeing something there that would indicate to us the sense in which this congregation. In verse 2 of the 1 Corinthian letter, "To the church of God, which is at," where?
Corinth.
So if it's at that place, that tells us it's a local. That's correct, local. All right? So that collective there is that local church at Corinth, just like we are here in Humble. Same idea. Okay? Same concept. Now, it's an interesting point, too, that when you look at this, did it call it a Church of Christ here in verse 2?
Church of God.
Church of God, didn't it? Okay. And that "of" part is what? When you see an "of" something. Okay. Of God, of Christ. Sure. It's an indicator of that relationship they have, the type of group it is, type of people they are. All right, so again, the same thing. Same thing. All right. In 1 Corinthians 14, which we know 1 Corinthians 14 is a good chapter to deal with the assembled sense of a congregation and how you can act in that assembly, which I just... So if you look at 28, knowing what the chapter does... Then, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So we're talking here in what sense? Assembled? Yeah, assembled sense. All right. So the assembled sense are the things we do one with another and physically present with each other. Now, in Ephesians 5:23, which we saw a few moments ago, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. Now, this sense here is what? Of the church, the group, universal. Exactly right. Okay. Now, and the last one we have is Revelation 1:4. Now, if you've looked at this one before, and you see Revelation 1:4, and it reads, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now, what sense is this one? Okay, the word, no, think about it now. The word church is singular or plural? Plural, isn't it? So we're looking at these individual congregations. So it's local. Smyrna, Thyatira, Ephesus, they're all listed for you. All right? So that's the way they're listed. It didn't say church in Asia. It said churches, okay? And it listed them for you. So they're all individual bodies of Christ or individual congregations. Now, and again, an indicator of that is when you see the plural on it. Now, so we come to the question, I guess, is what is the humble church of Christ? What is it? What is the humble church of Christ? In words. Well, it's people.
The group of Christians meeting together in a local place to work and worship.
Yeah. Okay. And you included the points in there, believers, Christians. You said the point about agreeing to work together. You included the point about it's in a location. Okay? All those good things you said. And again, the work and worship together. So that's what defines this congregation we're a part of here in Humble. Now, it says Humble. Does that mean everyone has to live in Humble with a mailing address? No, this is where we gather, isn't it? Okay, that's the idea, the descriptive part of it. And a convenient place for all of us. All right? Okay. And the next question, number 12, is give scripture illustrated on your answer applicable. Singular and plural. It's straight away what we've been doing. If you got a Christian, and a plural that is Christians, so the collective of Christians is the word church. All right? Church. It's collective. Now, the interesting part in the next part is if you have a church and the plural that is churches, well, do you find anywhere in Scripture where churches are collectively looked at? See? You do in living outside this community, okay, in this community, but they're called denominations. But you don't find any scripture for that. Now, it's an interesting point, too, that if you look in 1 Peter 2:17, there's a word there called brotherhood. And you'll hear that, you know, a lot. And it's certainly a good word. Good word to use. In 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And recently I run across an article from the church in Lufkin, which is where Reagan McClinney attends and preaches there. And they had an article on brotherhood. And we tend, or the world tends to understand brotherhood as a person involved in the hood and relationship they're in. I've got some definitions. An association, society, or community of persons linked by common intent, religion, or trade. So when you start linking congregations, as Todd was talking about, okay, when you start linking them together, churches, then that's called churchhood. And that's where people get off track on that because, again, your gathering congregations, calling it a church or one church. And in this Timberline Church article that is from Lufkin, it states there that they were counter-arguing from a preacher training school they got the material from, that the one church is composed of many local congregations, which is foreign, okay, foreign from Scripture. And they associated it with Shell Oil Company, where they had a big circle with Shell Oil Company, and then you had all the service stations underneath it. So it appeared to be congregations, and they associate that exactly with churches, okay, Churches of Christ. And again, that's foreign from what we see in Scripture, because it's always individuals looked at. It's not congregations as grouped together. And it also says, but this is a far cry from saying the universal church is an aggregate of churches. The one church view of God's people considers saints in the aggregate. It is a brotherhood, not a churchhood. So those are things to consider in life. And whether by ignorance or intention, the comparison of universal church to such can only promote a denominational concept to the Lord's people. And another couple of comments, that the church composed of churches concept, and this is an interesting point, is that it encourages an unwritten creedism, standards having only human fallible authority. So when you establish those kind of relationships where churches or another church is part of a group, then they start making their own rules, they become their own authority. And again, that's when the error begins. And God doesn't want that in His organization of His people, His believers. Now, and he ends that with some good comments. We are one on one with God. And that's certainly the concept of being individuals in our relationship to God and not as a congregation. Because after all, when we're going to be judged, are we judged because we're part of a congregation? No, we're judged individually on our own merits, our own works. And again, after all, that's done depending on grace of God to save us. All right. Yes, sir.
This is an observation when you're talking, and maybe this is a pet peeve of mine, but the use of the term brotherhood is a good word.
Oh, yeah, good word.
Good word. What happened, what I've been exposed to, is we fall into the trap our words catch us, and we start using brotherhood and very much in a sectarian kind of approach. We talk about brotherhood papers or a brotherhood preacher. And, you know, it's not unlike to me the idea of somebody asking one of your questions here, what are you religiously? Well, I'm a Church of Christ. Well, I'm a member of the brotherhood. It gives that aura to me, not or to Jackson, the denominational thought pattern.
Exactly. Can you hear that? That it does, again, a concept of the denominational thought pattern, that the dependence, the obligation, everything kind of fades to the congregation, to the group, see, as your authority. And brotherhood seemed to indicate that too, the larger entity than yourself and the little congregation. Now, and I got some definitions here for denomination. Religious organization whose congregations are united in their adherence to its beliefs and practices. And I updated that. A large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. And again, that's really the catch, because when you start gathering all these congregations, there's got to be oversight. There's got to be an administration of what's going on. And that's, again, foreign scriptures. When you have congregations gathered together, okay, and then a common oversight develops on the work that they do. Now,
yes? Exactly what happened with Abilene Highlands Church. When they set up, you know, the congregation would send money to Abilene, and their elders were oversight, and they would send contingency to the funds, you know, whether it be sending preachers or to do some other work, you know. But it was all these congregations in the Brotherhood would send it to Evelyn.
Yes. And again, that organization is foreign to Scripture. If we're going to be true to the book, chapter, and verse, we need to remember that. And again, that's where they get in trouble. They get overextended. And again, that's not the case. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean the case, but the point is they're going contrary to Scripture and what's been revealed. Now, and as brought up just a minute ago in 13, that people may ask, what are you religiously? You know, I'm a Church of Christ. And I know when I had some medical procedure in December, you get that questionnaire when you're in a hospital. And matter of fact, Sally got that questionnaire too. And I'm sure we all do. And I can see why they ask that, because when the chaplain comes by, you know, they want to know what your religion is. Okay, so is that what would you put, or what have you put on yours?
Disciple of Christ.
Disciple of Christ.
I should write Christian.
Christian. Okay, I wrote Christian down there. Okay, that was. And it's just a little, it indicates something, how we think sometimes, because if you say, I am a Church of Christ, I'm a Church of Christ, what's that revealing? Denominational concept, and you're also missing the idea of a collective noun too, aren't you? See, plurality of that. So,
what's wrong with saying I'm a Church of Christ?
Because I'm not. I'm not a plurality. I'm not collecting anything about myself. You got to have more than that.
Do you think they're saying I'm a collective?
No.
What do they mean by that?
Well, they mean an indication that that's their religion. And in this case, with clergy, they come by and say, well, I see your Church of Christ.
What do you mean their religion?
When you're out at a hospital? Yeah.
I'm a Church of Christ. What does that person say?
Which person? The person who's admitted?
If you ask, what are you religious? And they say, I'm Church of Christ. What do they mean?
Well, they mean a lot of things, but
so
I think
I'm Church of Christ.
Yeah, but I think they mean that this is my religion. This is where I attend. I adhere to these revelations in Scripture. That's what they think they mean, okay? And that's the common word they've seen in their life. As opposed to saying, I'm a Christian. Yes?
To me, that would indicate that every building that says Church of Christ would adhere to the same beliefs, which is not.
Yes, it's a denominational shield to it, okay? Okay, let's be ready for our next class next time as we go into distinction in the universal and the local. And finish out these. All right, thank you very much.